in getting ready for revival. And I've preached this from these passages before, and you've heard other preachers preach from these passages before. We're getting ready to hold a week's worth of services beginning next Sunday, and I'm getting excited about it. Brother Eddie done a good job for us whenever he came for our homecoming this past year, and I'm looking forward to hearing him for the whole week. So be in prayer for Brother Eddie as he's preparing to come. Pray with me on two things, and it's the same thing every revival I ask that you pray for. Number one, pray for Brother Eddie Lambert as he prepares, prays, and gets the messages ready that God would have for us to hear. And I believe that God would give Eddie the messages for us to hear. And I trust that he's praying, and I believe he is. I know him, and I believe he is. But let's pray for Brother Eddie as he prepares to bring the messages that God would have us to go to hear. And two, pray that God would ready our heart to hear those messages. I believe this, Brother Donnie, that a man can pray and prepare and preach the very message that God would have him to go to hear. And I also believe that the people that's listening to it has to have a heart that's prepared and ready to receive the message. I believe either one of those two can say no and not be obedient to the Word of God. And not, you know, and I believe it takes both. I don't think Brother Eddie can bring a revival. He can bring messages. Only God's going to bring the revival. Second Chronicles, chapter 7, very familiar passages of Scripture on getting ready for revival. Now, let me ask you something. We have heard and read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I'll get it out in a second. We've heard it preached. We've heard it stated. We've heard it talked about. But have you ever read the context of exactly what was going on during this time? Something remarkable was going on. Solomon, he was David's son, of course, and he was made the king of Israel. And whenever he became king, God told him to ask him anything that he wanted, and God would give it to him. Man, what a blessing that would be. God just to tell you, Brother Caleb, anything you want, I'll give it to you. You know, my natural mind, it can go to places maybe where it shouldn't, you know. And no doubt Solomon went through the same thing. But he said, God, I just want wisdom to lead your people. He prayed for wisdom. And God said, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. You could have asked for money. You could ask for wealth. You could have asked for power. You could have asked for anything. But you have chosen to ask wisdom to lead others. And God told him, because you've done this, I'm going to give you other stuff to do. That's basically what it was. Solomon, David, let me back up just a second, because this is important. David wanted and desired to build God a house. David said, it's not right for me to live in a house made of wood, of cedar, I think is what he said. And God dwells in a house of a tent, or a tabernacle. He said, I want to build God a house. But because of David's sin, because of his disobedience, God never allowed him to do that. But now Solomon took up the court. And he built God a house. Now, here in the seventh chapter of Second Chronicles, Solomon made an end of praying, and he done what he wanted to do. In verse 11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. So I wanted to spend just a little bit of time. Maybe perhaps you never knew what was going on here, but now Solomon was finished building the house for God. Can I tell you something, folks? Whenever it comes in our day, God does not live in a house made with hand. He doesn't live in a house that man has built, but He lives in the heart of every single believer. I'm going to tell you something. I was involved with a rededication service of a church that was tore down or damaged in Hurricane Katrina. They built a new building, and I was part of that. And they asked me to pray the dedication prayer. And I remember praying, because I believe that God, we know that You do not live in a house of wood and stone, but You live in the hearts of Your people. You inhabit the hearts of Your people. But this place we dedicate to You today for the use and for the purpose that You would have for something like that. But I'm going to tell you, them folks that were part of that church, they thought that God put a change of address in the post office and He was moving in that day physically, the way they carried on. And they didn't appreciate me a bit. But folks, let me tell you something. It's important for you to know, as we get ready for revival, that the habitation of God is not in this place. If something happened to this church house, folks, Venable Baptist Church would go home, because You are the church house, not this place. This place is dedicated for the service of Venable Baptist Church, for the worship of our Lord and God, and it's an important place, no doubt. But the most important part of Venable Baptist Church, and not the pews, is the one sitting in the pew. Amen?
Amen.
So, they were getting ready to dedicate the house of God. Can I tell you today, my heart's desire as we go through the message today, and as we spend this week preparing to go through our revival time, that we would get our hearts ready and understand that God has chosen us to dwell. He's loving the heart. So that is the essence of taking this passage of Scripture. Solomon has finished the work in the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord and his own house, and he prosperously affected. That's what was going on. And then that night, after Solomon had prayed the dedication prayer for the house of God, that night God visited Solomon. And this is the recorded interaction between Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and God, the Creator of all. Isn't it something to think about God communicating with His people? Can I tell you that God still communicates with His people today? We have a privilege that no one else has. God's people has a privilege that the world does not understand. And that's the privilege of communicating directly with God. You don't go to the preacher You don't go to some representative, but you can go boldly into the very throne room of God.
Amen.
And know that He hears us. That was what was happening. And God was communicating with Solomon over this instance of him completing the temple. And God converses with him. And it's easy for me, anyway, to see how it can include revival. He gives us some things on preparing. He says in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their sins. What a blessing. What a blessed thought that's wrapped up in these little verses. Brother Bobby, would you lead our heart?
Heavenly Father God, we just thank you again, Lord, for many blessings. We thank you for this day you give us, Father. We pray, Lord, that you help us to always be mindful of the blessings, Lord, that you give us and that you allow us to have. Father, we pray that you help us to share that with others, Father, and share the wonderful gospel message with those around us, Father. We pray, Lord, for Brother Willie as he stands before us this morning, Father. We pray that you give him words you have us to hear today, Father. And we thank you again, Lord, for giving the blessings. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, do you want to be closer to God than you are right now? Do you want to have a closer walk with Him? More of a personal relationship with Him? God spent many time talking about His people, Israel. Israel is not a picture of the New Testament church. It is a picture of the New Testament believer, you and me. And many times, the Word of God uses Israel as an example of God's people, as individuals. Anytime you read about God dealing with Israel, He always deals with Israel as a nation or a singular. He doesn't, you know, when you read about Israel, it's a collective. And He's using it to show us a picture. Give you some examples real quick. Number one, Israel was in bondage. The church has never been in bondage. In fact, the Bible teaches us that the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. Talking about the church. But you know what? Before you got saved, you were in bondage. You were in bondage to sin. Amen? That goes for me, that goes for you, it goes for all of us. Israel did not just wake up one day and say, you know, I don't think I like it here in Egypt anymore. I think I'll just leave. That's not the way it worked at all. It took a mighty work of God to deliver Israel from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. God had to do that. Amen. A slave just couldn't decide, hey, I don't like this anymore. I think I'm going to the house. That just didn't work. Folks, never, ever, ever, never, ever sell your salvation short. It took a mighty work of God to deliver you from the bondage of sin. Amen. You know, it just kind of irritates me sometimes whenever I hear people talk about salvation. Well, salvation is free. You know, it's just a free gift of God. There is no such thing as a free gift. It costs somebody something somewhere. Right. And it costs Jesus everything. It's free to us. But it cost Jesus, it cost God the Father, a high price. It took a mighty work of God to deliver you from the hole of sin. It wasn't just something you decided. You didn't just decide that you were going to turn over a new leaf and walk away from it. It took a mighty work of God. Israel went on a journey to the promised land. Promised land, not heaven. You ain't working for heaven. Amen? You can't work for heaven. Heaven is a gift of God. So what is the promised land? It's Christian maturity. What's the one thing God's trying to do in your life? He's trying to mature you. If you'll excuse this, He's trying to get you to grow up. Amen? He wants you to grow up. In fact, Paul said, when by the process of time I should be able to talk to you as an adult, I got to treat you like a little baby. That's not an exact quote, but that's what he said. It's time to grow up. That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to grow us up. So let's look at this just for a few minutes this morning on preparing for revival. First of all, he starts off with the word if. He says, if my people. Do you reckon if he uses the word if, that he means there's a possibility that we may not get revived? He said, if you do this, this will happen. So it seems to reason, if you don't do this, nothing's going to happen. Am I far from wrong on that, or does that sound reasonable? God tells Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, he identified the one that he's talking about, if his people, which are called by his name, we're saved by grace through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. There's not another name given among on earth or in heaven, where among men, whereby we must be saved. Oops, I'm going to step off this one. There's not a name given. The name that's above every name, and that's Jesus. Amen. By the way, can I tell you, it was the same thing in the Old Testament. Every time that God deals with man, it's in the person of Jesus Christ. It may not say Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, but that's who he's talking about. That was the Son of God. It was the form of the fourth man that was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was the one that talked to Adam in the cool of the day in the garden. It was the one that dealt with Moses in the burning bush. And you just go on and on and on. It's always Jesus. Always the Son. If my people, which are called by my name, he gives us some things. And I've always read this. You might be able to take them each one, but it kind of has seemed like it sends it out two by two to me. Anyway, it just might be just because of the way that I read it. But he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Seems like those two go together. You cannot pray with a proud spirit. Amen. Now, to be proud of something, I don't think that's exactly what he's talking about here. Like your child does something and you're proud of their accomplishments. I don't think that's what is talked about as pride being a sin. I don't think that's necessarily wrong or whatever. But I think what the pride that's sinful is when we're lifted up and we think we're bigger than what we are, and we get boastful about what we've done. Amen. Now, he says, if you'll humble yourself. I'm going to say something. I don't want it to hurt your feelings. But you're not nearly as important as you think you are. Amen? And mostly, that would go for preachers. You know, Brother Moore one time made a comment, he said, about young preachers. He said that whenever young preachers, they're kind of like guinea hogs. He said they're never so big as whenever they first hatch, and after that, then you start shrinking. Amen? Pride will get you in trouble. Humble is how you got to meet Jesus. Because when you're prideful, you got the idea, I can do it. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you realize that the only way you can do it is by His help. Well, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, and pray. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on me this morning. You know what they are. You know what it's about. But folks, I'm asking you, if we're going to see a revival this next week, it's only going to come when God's people follow God's recipe for revival. And the first step is to humble ourselves and pray. Seek His face. And turn from their wicked ways. Those two kind of go together. Because you cannot seek God's faith and God's favor holding on to your sin. You cannot. And as you pray, as you humble yourself, and you submit yourself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, you start praying to God, and God starts showing you some things, and you start seeking His face, His direction, the way He wants you to go, you cannot do it holding on to those things. In fact, can I tell you this? Over in Hebrews, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. That's the same thing. We need to set aside every weight. Those things that weigh us down. Those things that are hindering us from doing what God has wanted us to do. And the sin that so easily beset us. And I don't know. If I could get this dogmatic about it. But reading that there in Hebrews, it says, the sin, that means that it's a particular sin. And I can't help but believe when Jesus was talking to His disciples, He identified that the sin was. And it's unbelievable. You want to know the one thing that keeps us from doing everything God wants us to do? Is our unbelief. That hinders us more than anything else. That hinders us from getting to where God really wants us. Now, I shared this with you before, and I'll share it. I don't know how many other times that I believe that my problem is unbelief, is not believing God's kingdom. I know it can. My problem with unbelief comes in this form. Yes, He can, but will He do it in my life? Even though He showed me over and over and over again. Even though He's been faithful this 25 years that I've been a Christian. Even though He showed me in countless ways, Brother Terry, sometimes I still have the problem. Really believe my unbelief will do it in my life. To me, that shows someone brain damage or something. You keep showing it over and over again, and you still won't believe, Brother Donnie, something's not right. Amen? But that's where I am. If my people which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God promises us that He will hear our prayer. You think about that. But He doesn't say He'll hear every prayer. He says, if my people want me to hear, I got to do this. If my people want to get answers to their prayer, He said, this is how you do it. Amen. Brother Bobby, let's have a song of invitation. And I'm going to ask you today, as Brother Bobby and our musicians come, do you want to have the Bible? I'm not talking about just having a good week in the Lord, because everybody wants that. I'm talking about revival, where I am drawn closer to God. You want revival? In our Wednesday night class, we've been going over our daily walk the last couple of weeks. I've been encouraging our folks in class to get a particular study time, you know, whatever time it is. But here's the thing. If you want to grow closer to God than you are right now, it's going to take work on your part. God's done everything that that He can do. And He says, if my people, if you want it, God's willing to bring it. So this week, as we pray, do you really want revival? And if you answer yes to that, are you willing to do what it's going to take to have revival? And that's us doing our part. God has done His part. And He only will. Well, where are you at today? Brother Bobby, what's your